Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome to Beyond the Game. My name is Gregan, and today I'm talking with Freya Nightingale, also known as Frey's Plays.
I think the difference between me and them is that they do this because, like, they always want to be bigger and better, and, like, and yeah, Greggy would always say, Frey, it's fine, you're just very passionate, and yeah. I'm like, very passionate, angry. When I meet people and, like, the vibes are immaculate, like yourself.
Oh, thank you.
You can just tell who is there to leech and who is there as a genuine person. And I want to do like next chapter stuff. Do you know what I mean?
All I ask is you follow for future episodes. It really does mean a lot. Otherwise, I hope you enjoy this conversation as we get to know Freya beyond the game.
Lovely.
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 I've just got two in around Harry. Makes everyone go, no, Adam. Right, well, Freya, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you a lot for coming here, especially early on in Beyond the Game's story. Mm-hmm. This is like the fourth episode, So very kind of you to come in. And we're just going to have a chat about gaming for you. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I want to find out about your childhood and what gaming was like growing up and what led you to where you are now as a Twitch streamer.
Okay. Well, when I was a lot younger, I played games with my brother. I would sit and watch him play like specific games like Tomb Raider. I don't know if you know a game called Croc.
I don't know Croc. Describe
Croc. No one knows Croc, man.
Describe it.
So you're a little Croc.
I mean, that bit I could work out.
A little
the rest,
one.
What's the rest of it?
And you have a backpack on. Aww. And you run around and like you collect gems, and you have to, like, it's like a platformer. So like you go through like levels. So like, you know, with Crash Bandicoot, you have levels and like different islands. Mm. Same thing. And you have to rescue all these little gobos.
Okay.
Yeah. And like there's little balls of like fluff, and like you have to rescue them. And then at the end, you have to fight the big boss. And yeah.
It kind of gives me Spyro vibe. You said like Crash.
It's kind of like Crash.
All those kind of games back in the day were big hits, weren't they?
Yeah. 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 So I would watch him play games like that. And I would play like the odd game. When I was like in like early teens, I played like COD and stuff like that. But then there was like a big chunk of my life, like kind of late teens, early 20s, where I didn't game like at all. And then now I stream.
Now you stream. When did you start streaming? So that was early lockdown, was it?
So it was early lockdown. It was April 2nd that I moved to Twitch, 2020. But I was streaming on YouTube for like 8-9 months before that, whilst also working part-time at Cyber and Clothing. And yeah, that's kind of how I transitioned.
And before that, you made some YouTube videos. It was about 5 years ago,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, uh-huh. Big rip to the channel.
You started off with the sort of vloggy content, you know, chilling on the sofa, doing a little challenge, going to events and vlogging while you're there.
Yeah. I wasn't really a big fan of vlogging. I found it really awkward and like hard to do. And I mean, I would still say like it is hard to vlog. Like I envy people who can just walk around with a camera. And then, yeah, and then I kind of transitioned to like challenge videos, like with Josh or Talia or G or like whoever. And then eventually I realized that YouTube wasn't quite my thing. I hate the word passionate. I wasn't like into it. I didn't really like care for it that much. So I slowly stopped posting on there, and now it is a big old rip, man. It's a big old rip. I haven't posted on there for like, I want to say over a year. I think it's been a long time.
Yeah. You mentioned you weren't passionate about it there.
Yeah. And
that's a word I've often used to describe you with gaming.
Oh yeah. And, I'm a passionate gal.
Yeah. Passionate gal. When you're streaming games and you're really into them. And at first you weren't too keen on me saying you're a passionate gamer, a passionate gal.
Well, I think it's because you would always say it when I was like getting into it in like an aggressive way. Like in like Among Us, obviously that's how we like properly met. I used to get into it, and that's like, I find fun in games that I can get into and like actually take seriously. It depends, like if like the lobby is like super chill, then fine. Or like if like the lobby is super like just messing about, then also calm. But like, I like to play a game properly. Mm-hmm. And I've learned this about myself, that when I play a game that I really like and enjoy and I'm potentially good at, I get wound up when people like don't play it right, or like they like mess about or whatever. And I get it, like it's all content. So I used to get like into my games in like Among Us. And yeah, Greggy would always say, Frey, it's fine. You're just very passionate. And yeah. I'm like, very passionate, angry.
Well, I saw it from an esports side, where I've seen top competitors in esports, when they're passionate, they get into it. And so I saw it as a positive thing.
Okay.
And so I think amongst variety streamers, being passionate like you were didn't always seem to flow with the rest of the group. But if you found the right people for it, it was perfect. And I think you struck that balance well in the Among Us lobbies. Like you said, that's where we met. What was first impressions with the early days of us playing Among Us? Because obviously we started off lying to each other.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really, like, because I always knew it was, like, just a game. But I always just thought that you were just really smart. So I was like, I need to be extra sneaky with this guy. Because I feel like whenever you sussed anyone, it was usually kind of accurate. But I don't know. I think I was quite good at, it's going to sound so bad, but I was quite good at like manipulating people.
Yeah, you were. But then even then, like, I thought I knew when you were manipulating people, but then there wasn't a way to explain it. You know, it was just, as we got to know each other, we kind of got each other's tells, we worked out each other, but there was no way you could tell and then also be able to be like, well, they've just done that, so therefore,
yeah,
I believe it's them, because then you look bad. So it was, you used to be really good at offloading sus to other people, to use the Among Us terms, but in a way that it couldn't put it back on yourself.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why that came naturally to me.
I mean, you did play a lot of it, to be fair.
I did. I think Among Us is like such a big part of my streaming career. It literally is what got me into like a routine. Like, I used to be part of the Bell lobbies, like Wolfer Bell, and she was really kind, and she invited me every day to the lobby, and she is what made me get a routine with my streaming, which I'm really grateful for, and I thank her to this day for having that consistency, because it forced me to have a schedule, and then that schedule then kind of put into perspective how much I really enjoy streaming and how I can still live, you know, like a normal life. Because I used to dislike the sporadicity of streaming. Like, sometimes I go live at 6, sometimes I go live at 8, you know, whatever. I really, really, really enjoy having a schedule. Like, it's what's changed my streaming, like 100%, and even like changed my perspective on streaming. So yeah, I'm grateful to Belle for that kind of structure in my streaming routine.
So you go live every weekday at 11.
Yeah.
And that was the time. That was the time we used to go live for Among Us, right?
Exactly.
So you just carried it on.
I carried on the same schedule. But the difference is I'd be live from 11 till, I think it was 2, doing Among Us. Long time. It was like 3 hours of just lying to your friends.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, it was really good. And then like, I'd... Would I continue streaming? I think I would.
We'd do other games afterwards, yeah, we'd do other games like Codenames or Golf with Your Friends.
Oh yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, those were the good days. And that was probably the time where a lot of what now is a close friend group in the London community anyway,
mm-hmm.
was we started off through Among Us.
Yeah.
And then now we sort of formed that connection off the back of it. And
yeah.
it's crazy to think that during lockdown, we were fortunate enough to be able to continue what we do
mm-hmm.
and also almost thrive in that environment because we were providing so much like positive entertainment for people who were at home, not able to work, not able to do stuff.
I've 100%.
Met so many people who said about those that Among Us era that it was that every morning they'd wake up and just put Among Us on, and even if they were working from home, it would be on their second monitor mm-hmm. when they were working from home. I guess that brings me on to a question around how do you feel about you're a role model for a lot of people through your streaming, even if you don't realize it,
mm-hmm.
Especially around gaming, because as we mentioned, being a passionate woman playing mm-hmm. video games, there's a lot of people, in fact, a close friend of mine who watched your streams early on, through your streams realized that she could play games in a competitive way, in a passionate
That's
way.
That's cool. Who's that?
Karis.
Oh, yeah.
So watching streams through people like yourself gave people that opportunity to realize that they could do that.
Right, yeah.
And did you realize that you were that much of a role model? Have you thought about it much? And how does it make you feel?
I don't think I did think of it in that way to that extent, purely because I've always been surrounded by other creators who are extremely successful and a lot bigger. And even though I see the impact that they have on their communities and their viewers, I never really considered myself that at all, because I think the difference between me and them is that they do this because like they always want to be bigger and better, and like, and I feel like it is a career, like it is like something that I like, it's where I get my money from, but I definitely do it. It helps me like more than it probably helps them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it brings me happiness, like, as well as my viewers. So I never really viewed myself as like me and them. I would always just view it on the same. So no, I guess I didn't really think of it in that way, like not that deeply. But I do understand how easily it can happen. So I guess I was naive to think that.
Yeah, I guess you're just your authentic self, just enjoying games.
This is the thing, yeah. I never really feel like I bring much because I'm literally just in my room playing games and chatting to people. But I don't know. I guess you can always put someone on a pedestal, right? But I've never done that for myself. I've always just been like, oh, just been playing games in my room and whatever. But I can understand it can bring someone comfort. Mm. Like having like someone on in the background, like having a stream on in the background. I always do it. I can't do a single thing in my house without either having a YouTube video on or having a stream on. Like it's like a comfort thing. So I fully get that aspect of it all.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, you know, you got a lot of regulars and you're their comfort streamer, as you could say.
Mm.
And I guess for someone, you get 1,000 viewers average, I guess, mm-hmm. maybe a bit more. And despite that, you still have that community vibe, which I think is something a lot of streamers around that size struggle mm-hmm. to keep. Because it's very hard to have, I mean, you can't have that one-to-one communication
mm-hmm.
because there's just too many people. But still, you've sort of created that environment where people feel comfort there, they've made friends within the community, and you've got that relationship with your mods, and the mods are sort of an extension of the stream.
Yeah.
Is that something you kind of did intentionally, or is it just sort of happened through you, like you said, just being your authentic self?
No, I don't think you can intentionally do that, can you? Like, if you can, then, you know, let me know how, but I'm pretty sure you can't intentionally do something like that, because I feel like stuff like that, you can't just make it. It's just like people either like you or they don't, which is something that I guess is a challenge when it comes to streaming, because you kind of look inside of yourself a lot and you're like, what is this person doing that I'm not doing? Or like, why do they have more viewers than, say, someone else? And then you start looking at the person and stuff. And sometimes it is just luck that you have like more viewers and like people just like you, but it can make you question yourself, because you're like, huh, like, why have they got more viewers? Like, what are they doing that I'm not doing, for example? But you do have to, like, just admit that some people just don't like you, and that's okay.
Yeah, and I think that's, it's admirable in a lot of ways for a lot of streamers out there who are trying to force the process a little bit.
Mm.
And actually, you know, you said you, sometimes you can be quite lucky, you know, we're both in lucky positions where when we go live in a stream, we aren't just sitting there with one viewer, which for most people that will be the case, that they'll start out and Nightbot will be their only viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But there is that element of if you try and change who you are on camera, it's not going to be sustainable, right?
Some people do it and I think it's great. I genuinely, I'm like, wow, I can't. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, Josh Ellum.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he changes who he is, because he doesn't. He's the same guy. But when I say the amount of energy that guy can bring to a stream, it's like really impressive. And then after a stream, he's always like, oh, tired. And it isn't that he's not being himself. He's being 100% himself. He's just amping himself more so and making himself more entertaining. And I find that admirable, because I think I would be exhausted if I did that. And also I just can't maintain it. I always just be myself, and that's kind of how I've always been on streams. But I do envy people who can kind of like switch on and off like that, because it's probably, you know, a good thing that you can do that. So
yeah, so with your streaming, you play a mixture of games. You're a variety streamer.
Mm.
I guess we'll go straight into your top five games. And this will be tough for you, because for a lot of people I have on this podcast, there'll be a very obvious one game, which will be their career. And then there'll be a few other games that led them to that point, and then maybe one or two games that they really love. But you're a fan of games which have got multiples in the series, that you know, like the kind of story games you play.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to pick one of those out will be tough. And you play so many different games. So for you, this is going to be a challenge. Mm. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But what are your top five games? And you can choose by influence on your life or just by how much you enjoyed them.
I'll be honest, I only really have two for this question. It's Little Nightmares 1 and 2.
Okay.
Like, I think like that game is so amazing, and I can replay it over and over, and I love the artwork, I love the art style, I love the story, I love everything about that game. But I would also have to say Croc is up there, just because it is like very, very, very nostalgic for me.
The memories.
So yeah, Josh bought me a PlayStation 2. I think it was like a couple years ago, or like last year.
I'm going to have to be really annoying and ask which Josh, because there are so many Joshes in your life.
I'm just like, oh, my boyfriend. He bought me a PlayStation 2, like a remastered one, and he got me Croc, so I could play Croc on it. And it was so nostalgic, because like the graphics were poop, like they were awful. But I loved that. Like, I loved it. Like, it was
the feeling.
Just, yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, the reason why I asked which Josh is because you mentioned you enjoyed Croc vicariously through your brother playing
There's a lot of Joshes in my life, so I have
you mentioned
brother,
Josh Ellum, and then...
I have my brother Josh, I have my boyfriend Josh, and I have Josh who I play with, Ellum, friend Josh. So brother Josh is who I used to play Croc with.
Mm-hmm.
But boyfriend Josh got me like a PlayStation, and I could play it, and it was really cool.
So there's three games there: Little Nightmares 1 and 2, Croc. Any, I guess the...
I do enjoy the Dark Pictures games. They just come out with a new one, The Devil in Me, which they kindly sent me a code for, and I completed it today, so...
Good stuff, good stuff.
Those
this is
going to
be
like
3 weeks ago by the time this is out.
I know. it's like a decision-making game where, like, you know, like the butterfly effect, so each choice that you make affects what happens in the game.
Ooh.
And typically in these games there's like five characters and you have to keep them alive essentially, and they're faced with, you know, things that happen and you have to choose one or the other. One could kill them and one would potentially like save them, so it's like quite a stressful game because obviously you want to like do your best. But yeah, I love games like that. I think they're so fun.
They're also great. I've watched your stream playing, especially Little Nightmares. I sort of played that game through watching you. I'd never played it myself, but those kind of games are great when you see your favorite streamer playing them, because they put their own little personality on them, especially when there's decisions that you can change.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah,
it's really cool. So yeah, I think that's a perfect game for you on stream, especially like you said, with the some of the decisions. you know, the kind of funny moments you can get off of those.
And also, like, you have to answer within, like, a certain amount of time. So, like, there'll be, like, a little, like, a dial. And once the dial, like, reaches the end, like, you've run out of time. So if you don't make a decision, something could happen. You just don't know what it is. So you have to choose. And it's fun, but it is stressful.
So is there any one of those that you'd put in, or would you choose two of them?
Ooh, Until Dawn.
Until Dawn?
Yeah. Like, although that one's, I don't think that's part of the Dark Pictures Anthology series, but it's by the same game makers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'd say Until Dawn number four.
So you got one more. I'm interested. So I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
No.
Feel free to tell me if you hated the games.
Yeah.
But I've seen you play a lot of Dead by Daylight, mm-hmm. Among Us, and Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you've clocked up the hours on those for streaming.
I have.
But how much of those was the actual game, and how much of those were the people you're playing with? Because I feel like they were a medium for you to be entertaining with friends and have fun with friends.
Minecraft was fun, but I would not put that in my top five games. Great game, like, but I'm just a builder. I like to build stuff in, like, that game. Among Us, does it deserve a place? I think it maybe does because of how significant it's been in my, like, career. Like, I think without Among Us, I wouldn't be where I am. So I feel like it deserves credit, you know, mm-hmm. for that. But also Dead by Daylight is how I first started streaming. So they both hold a lot of weight. But I don't know if I would want to put Dead by Daylight in my top five. Maybe I would choose Among Us over Dead by Daylight. I think I've played Dead by Daylight a lot more. But Among Us is a cooler game, isn't it? Like,
I guess also the memories. Which game do you have the bigger memories from? Like, which ones do you think back to stream moments and just think, oh yeah, that was a great game for all those different moments that happened?
Maybe Minecraft.
Really?
Yeah. Like,
so I'm throwing a spanner in there.
I know. Well, because there's... So my Twitch community, they always have this thing that I love to kill animals,
right? Oh, it's the squirrel.
It wasn't just a squirrel. It was a squirrel. It was a horse. There was so many animals that I had, and they all freaking died. And I didn't mean for them to die, but they just died. And so now it's a thing in my chat. Oh my God, no, look, there's a pet there. She's going to kill it. And it's like, but like that, like there's a lot of memories there and like a lot of funny moments. And, you know, I guess things that have shaped my stream in that game. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
So which one's it going to be for number five?
No. I'm still going to stick with Among Us.
Still stick with Among
Us. It's significant and it's like changed, you know, my streaming.
So there you go. There's five. Little Nightmares 1 and 2, Croc, mm-hmm. Until Dawn, and Among Us.
Yeah.
That's going to be a very unique one.
That is very, I was about to say, they're all very different.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people who will come on and they'll name an esports game and then they'll name another competitive games.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're one of my friends who's most into story games.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to hear you talk about them. And
I love, like, stories, I love puzzle games, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, things where it makes you think a little bit and you start. And that's a great way to get chat involved as well. It's something I've always noticed. You're very open to trying to solve it yourself. And then when you can't, get chat involved.
Yeah. My mods are quite strict with it. They're like, no spoilers, blah, 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 until I'm like, okay, like, guys, need you. I actually need you right now. Help me. But also, I've thought of another game, you know, like Last of Us?
Yeah.
So good. Like, both of those games are so good.
But this is the tough thing. As I mentioned, you play so many different games, but they're all games that you play for a bit and then they're done because they're a story.
Yeah, it's a story.
Whereas, you know, the repetition of Among Us or Minecraft of League for me and shooter games for other people where they play thousands of hours of it.
Mm.
They're a little bit easier to pick out. But
I'm really torn on what I prefer more, mm-hmm. games like that or story games.
Because you do play a lot of competitive games, but you tend not to do them on stream.
Yeah. Like, I enjoy playing COD. I don't know if that, would you say that? It's a competitive game. I enjoy playing Fortnite. But again, I don't really like playing those games on stream. I can't stand like the backseating that
it's
I receive.
It's stressful.
So yeah, I tend not to because I don't want it to take the enjoyment out of it. I just play those games for fun and that's kind of the way I prefer it because there's just too many backseaters out there.
There are indeed. And we're talking about your top five games. Any of those in particular that you'd put for your greatest ever achievement in gaming? Or is there something else you'd think of? And this is a tough one again.
Yeah, see, I've been thinking about this question. I really don't know, like, what my greatest achievement in gaming is? I genuinely don't think I could point something out. I honestly don't know.
I mean, I've seen you 100% some of the story games.
So yeah, with Little Nightmares, I like, especially the second one, I collected all the hats, which is really fun. One thing about me is that I love collectibles in a game. If there's something, like if there's a game and like I start playing and then I pick something up and it's like, oh, one out of 50, I'm like, I want all
of
them.
Have I missed any?
Yeah, I literally get so like methodical. Like I'll like look around like the entire room, like check all the corners because I like to get collectibles. It's really fun. I think I have 100% Little Nightmares 2. Even with the achievements, because this is really embarrassing to admit, but I went and played the game again on stream and I had a few people tell me where all the achievements were so I could go and do them. So I think I've 100%ed that game, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty good, yeah. Yeah. I think...
I mean, I cheated, but it's fine.
But we all did when we completed games 100% back in the day. We'd go online, we'd
find... It was achievements that you wouldn't think to do. Like, yeah. One of them was like... open the fridge, or one was to like pick up a paper aeroplane and throw it out the window. You'd never like in this game you wouldn't think to do that, so you know it was necessary.
I think they're designed, those kind of achievements are designed by the people who make the games to be ones that people find online and talk about online.
Yeah,
because back in the day when games first came out, there wasn't that online communication. So original Super Mario Brothers, for example, the first person who found the warp pipes was considered a legend because it was like, wow, you found a secret to skip through worlds. But now, the moment you get the game, within the first hour or two of the game being out, there'll be something online. Did you know you can do this?
So actually, so I jumped on Warzone with my friend MZ, who you probably know.
I do.
And she got downed and it was like me, Em and Sam, which is like my other friend. And me and Sam had just been brought back. Or like, yeah. Walked back, Em got downed like in this room and she was like, oh, like I'm clear, like there's no one here. We went in, got killed, and she's like, wait, what, how? And we watched it back and this guy was sat in a glitch. He was sat in there. He knew that we couldn't see him, but I was like, this was the first day on Warzone. How has he found that there's a glitch there? It was actually insane.
It's one of those hide-in-the-wall glitches where it's one way, I've seen those in other games too. I guess there's a lot of people out there who thrive off of that kind of thing. They love finding that kind of stuff. And anyway, those are the sweaty gamers.
They're sweaty gamers.
That's what you thought of when I called you a passionate gamer. You thought of those people, not the person you are.
Hell no.
But you've been streaming now for 2-3 years, YouTube content a bit before that. You mentioned earlier how while you started out, you were working at Sidemen for the Sidemen clothing.
Yeah.
Talk about your sort of professional journey, because you didn't seek out to be a content creator or influencer or anything like that when you left school. What was your journey from school like?
So I wasn't the most academic gal. But I went to sixth form, but I dropped out after like 2 months. So I'm going to say I didn't really go. I went to college called the Fashion Retail Academy. I went there for a year. I got a diploma in fashion retail and then I got a job at Hollister. And I was there from the age of like 17 to 21. Loved it there. Like, it was when it was like booming and like everyone wanted like the Hollister tea. They were like obsessed with the smell of it. They'd go in and it was like pitch black. And I was there. Yeah, I was there for like 3 years and I really, really, no, 4 years. And I really, really liked it. And then I was like, do you know what, Frey? You're a woman. You need to level up, you know? No shame in retail, but I was like, I want something else. So, then I went and I was an estate agent in, you know, Wapping in London.
I know the name, but I wouldn't know where
it is. It's in East London.
East London.
And I was an estate agent there for a year and a half, but I hated it like so much. I'm not very good at being on the phone. Like I have a slight stutter. So when being on the phone made it so much worse. And in that job, you have to be on the phone constantly, like making calls like to your clients, like, you know, just whatever, arranging viewings and stuff. And it was just quite a stressful job. Like whenever like you hit your goals, they'd be like, all right, cool. So what's the next goal? And like, it was never like, oh my God, well done. It was like, okay, but you know, you could do more. And I found that quite stressful, and it wasn't for me at all. So I actually ended up leaving that job after a year and a half with actually nothing. And it was actually Josh, boyfriend Josh, that encouraged me to leave because he saw how unhappy I was. It was actually starting to have an effect on our relationship because I was just miserable the whole time. And I was also a little bit envious of how he would wake up at like 2 p.m. and I'd wake up at freaking 6 a.m. and I'm like, you little poo face. So I think it was just a complete disconnect with myself and him. Like, he was doing something completely different to what I was doing, which just made it hard for us to like find time because my work day was like really, really long as well. And yeah, it got to a point where he kind of he gave me a safety net and was like, look, if you want to leave, why don't you work for Sidemen Clothing for like part time until you find like another job? And I was like, all right, cool. I thought on it for ages, and then I eventually was like, okay, thank you, I'm going to take it. My mum and dad were not pleased. They were like, don't leave your job for a man. Like, not in that way, but my mum was just always worried. Like, don't rely on anyone, you know? Like, you always make your own money. It's so important to have your independence, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, mum, it's me. It's fine. So...
It's also that was kind of what you did as well beforehand, right? Working at Sidemen Clothing made sense based off of the Hollister part of your journey, the fashion in retail.
Yeah,
so
yeah, true.
It kind of made sense for you, and it would have been great even if it wasn't the career you ended up going down for your future. But I can understand the parents' point of view a little bit.
Yeah, and same. And I was completely, I completely got it. I was like, all right, yeah, that's a fair point. And whatever, but I was like, at this point in my life, I'm just so unhappy like with where I am. So I left and I didn't have a job, but Josh was like, you know, go into Sidemen Clothing for like a few days a week while also like applying for jobs. So I got like a recruiter to like help me find jobs. And at the time I was looking for like office work just because I was like, I don't know what I want to do, man. Like, I didn't really want to do that, but I was like, it's better than what I was doing as an estate agent. I hated that. So I went for like a few interviews, but none of them really stuck. I think they could tell that my heart wasn't really in it. And then I was working, obviously, as I said, part-time at the same time with Sidemen. And then it was just me and Lewis. And it actually got to a point where I was like, I'm actually quite enjoying this. And I don't feel like unsafe if I was to, you know, take this like as like more of a full-time thing. And then me and Lewis basically just went full speed with Sidemen. And that was really cool. And I learned so much at that job. Like, I learned how to source a product, how to get a sample, how to, you know, place an order, how to quality check. Like, I learned all of that stuff, and I learned how to price stuff. Like, if you're buying something, a product worth X amount, you always want to go for like 100% profit, always. Like, it's all this stuff that I had like just learned, and I just, like, it's just such a valuable thing to know. And yeah, I loved it there. I was there for 4 years. And I didn't just leave straight away with Sidemen. I like went part-time first. And then I was like, you know what, this streaming thing could be good. So I decided to just go full pelt because my friends were like, just like give it a go. If like it sucks and you don't like it, you can go back to Sidemen. It's like a safe job. And so, yeah, I did. And I've never looked back ever.
Yeah, well, the other thing you probably did a bit of, I don't know if you were involved in it, was the booths as well, the Sidemen booths.
Oh my God, yeah. I loved that.
I don't know if you know this, but you know the famous insomnia where the Sidemen, they were too famous and people started, you know, overwhelming the shop and
the
everything.
Staff and stuff.
And the staff. Our booth that I was working on at that event was next door to it. We had a little Minecraft booth with Nox Crew. And we had a lot of really cute, nerdy kids coming in, like quite young, trying to play a bit of Minecraft at an event.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really care about the Sidemen because they weren't at that right age for
it.
And we were right next. My first impression of the Sidemen was their fans at that event when they were angry they'd just gone to the Sidemen booth.
Oh my God.
And so for me, for the longest time, I didn't really care for the Sidemen because I thought their fans represented them.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of their fans now have grown up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we were next door neighbours at that event, if you were at that event too.
That's crazy. I would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can imagine it was stressful. I think three insomnias I went to. And it was so fun. Like, I loved it. I literally loved it. And at that time, me and Josh were like a little bit more public with our relationship because at the start, Josh kind of kept me not private, like not hidden, but like, you know, low key. I think he was worried about it, like people being mean or whatever. But it was like at that time where it was slowly just starting to naturally infiltrate into each other's lives. And so at those events, I would get like a couple people saying, oh my God, hi Freya, can we get a picture? And that was like my first experience of like people knowing who I was. And it was really surreal. And every time I'd be like, really? Oh, okay, yeah, sure. I used to be so like, what? Because mm-hmm. at that time, I didn't create content. I didn't do anything. I was just Josh's girlfriend. But people just wanted pictures anyway. And it was quite a surreal thing, but...
How has that changed over time? Because I know, especially with the Among Us group, a lot of people there didn't know anything about Josh.
I found that so refreshing, by the way. Like, you know, Hafu,
mm-hmm.
she did not know or does not know. Well, no, she probably does know who he is. But she didn't know who Josh was or, like, anything like that. And so she just met me for me. And that was really cool. Like, that was, like, quite a substantial moment. Like, because Half is like a big streamer. And I was like, damn, that's really cool that like I'm being recognized as Freya or like Frey's Plays instead of just Freya, Josh's girlfriend. And that was quite a big moment for me. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah, I remember a lot when we were playing Among Us, the amount of people who'd pop in. I mean, to be fair, I had it both ways where people would think I was Kallax or something.
Oh my God, yeah.
But then people would pop in my stream and be like, oh, are you playing with Josh's girlfriend? I'd just respond like, no, this is Freya.
Yeah.
Because that...
Oh yeah, you've always been really good with that
stuff. Because it's frustrating because you, like you said, you've always tried to be... independent.
Mm-hmm.
You started off with it being private, and as it's got more public, it's challenging in that sense.
Yeah.
But I guess you want to talk a little bit about that journey from being behind that a relationship that's not public to slowly becoming more and more public to now being a very public relationship where, you know, you've done content together around your relationship and so on, and the challenges that come with that.
So I actually am a lot happier now that we are public as opposed to when he was trying to keep things hush-hush because there were certain things that he wouldn't do or I wouldn't do and it would kind of limit our natural interactions as well as ones that we do online. So, and also it's never a nice feeling to feel like you're being like tucked away or like hidden or like kept a secret. That's probably one of the worst feelings. So once he like relaxed about it a bit more, I actually was a lot happier and I just felt validated more so. Like, cause I don't know, he wasn't embarrassed or whatever, but you know, like you get in your own head and you're like, why am I such a secret? And I understood why. But it was one of those things where I was a lot happier when we were just more chill and I could just like get on with it. I would say there's stresses though and like pressure. Like the main one right now is engagement, you know. And I don't really want to talk about it too much because it's annoying. But that's something that I get pretty much daily, whether that's in my DMs, whether that's on my stream, whether that's in a comment, like, you know, whatever. And that's pretty exhausting because that just adds a pressure. Like, I don't think people realize the complexities of it and how, like, I don't know, like, you just don't really know what's going on behind closed doors. So I think it's really important to just, like, respect people's decisions and privacy. But that's something that I find irritating to deal with because it's just nonstop. And until it happens, it's going to keep happening. So stuff like that is pretty crap. I don't like that at all. And then there's always the, oh, like, he's too good for you or vice versa. And it's like, you literally don't know a single thing about me or him. And you're just making presumptions just on the way that we look or even sound. Like people will say, oh, like she's like her voice is so annoying. Josh could do so much better. And I'm like, so you're saying that Josh could do better because of my voice? Like, what are you talking about? So obviously stuff like that is irritating. But obviously the longer that you're in the game, it's more just like you just kind of block it all out. But it's still not very nice to hear. You know, like you wake up and you scroll Twitter and you just got some hate in your mentions. It's not a nice thing to wake up to.
Yeah, I mean, it's the constant judgment. No matter what part of your life it will be, people will find something to judge you on. Absolutely. I guess for you, the biggest thing will be the relationship because that's the thing people want to have an opinion on the most.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you said you kind of ignored it now. And I guess the big thing that kind of links to, especially being a Twitch streamer, is people feel they've got access to you as a person. And with social media and everything, they feel like they've got access to you as a person who can just comment on your life, who can comment on you as a person. What kind of issues do you think that has for on a bigger scale for society around the way they obsess over? It's like celebrity culture used to be them and us. Now with social media influencers and streamers, especially ones who are growing, there's that weird barrier of, oh, we have access to you through a Twitch chat, or we can mention you on Twitter every single time. And that barrier is so thin now. As you mentioned, you can see it every single day. What do you think the societal effect is from that?
I think it's a weird one because eventually, like, I think it's just going to really affect people mentally, not only creators, but also, as you say, like, the rest of society, because they feel like they have a say over what you say or do or think, and it's just not the case. It's very parasocial, which I think is extremely concerning, especially as like a female creator. I know that like stalking is like a massive issue, you know, like, and them having access to you like pretty much 24/7, whether that's like on Instagram, on Twitter, on Twitch, on YouTube, like wherever it is that you are. It's scary. And I have a few friends who are like close to me who have had to deal with that issue. And yeah, it's just very, very scary. I don't think it's healthy, but I don't really know what the solution is to it.
Yeah, it's tough because it's the one thing I've been finding recently is I have a lot of people come into my stream and ask, how are you doing? And I just sometimes think, why are you asking me? Like, I don't know you, you don't know me. You know, the regular viewers, your mods or whatever, you kind of go, oh, fair enough. We know each other to a certain extent. But there's a lot of first-time chatters who'll come in and say, hi, how you doing?
And you just thought of it that way.
And I always just think, what's their other how are you doing questions like? Are they always streamers? Do they ask their family? Do they ask their friends? And one of the things I learned from you in particular, as we started to meet up in London a lot more, started to, you know, you've been there for me when I've had some of my roughest days, you know, when I lost a job, you know, you turned up within like an hour or two and we went for a drink. And like, they're the people who you want to ask how they're doing. They're the people you want to hang out with. They're the people you want to check in on. But people are checking in on people they don't even know. And I wonder how much that's affecting people because they feel like they're being nice to people, but actually they might be directing it all to the wrong people. And
maybe, I never thought of it that way at all. I always just kind of saw it as like an outlet. So like people could be like, I don't know, going through a hard time or not. And like just on someone's stream. And I guess it's just like a normal thing to be like, hi, how are you? Like with any social interaction, like if you see someone on the street and they have something that you want, you'd be like, oh, hi, like how are you? I don't know, like it's just like a normal interaction. But I guess you're right, but I don't really know what they're going through in their life.
Exactly. Everyone's different and they could be using your stream as a comfort, like you said earlier on.
I think that's majority. That's what I use streams for. And like, I'm not going through like a hard time, but like, I just find so much comfort in someone streaming. And I don't know why. I have no idea why. I'd love to know why, but I don't. I think I do just quite like something on in the background. So like, and if it's another streamer, it's just more comforting than like music to me. And I don't know why that is either.
Similar with podcasts, right? Like that's why podcasts are doing so well now. You're just chilling, listening to a conversation.
Quite literally, yeah. Yeah, it's relaxing. But like it's a different type of relaxing. Who was it who I was chatting to? And they was like listening to like a podcast or like a documentary in the background is relaxing in a different way than listening to music is. I don't know if it was you. Someone said that. And it's true.
I agree with it though.
Yeah, it's so true. Like I find it more comforting and relaxing listening to people talking and that kind of stuff as opposed to music now. And I don't really know.
It's where all the sleep apps have kind of gone down the route of. They have people talking to you.
Yeah.
And peacefully talking and calming voices and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there is something about it there. And with that whole parasocial relationship thing, it's tough to navigate because viewers for the content creator is, you know, you can say, okay, that's a viewer, you know, I know where that barrier is. But there's even the challenge around other content creators who you work with, because mm-hmm. we were playing Among Us every single day. We passed through about 30, 40 people across those lobbies, maybe even more. And it's that weird challenge of the parasocial relationships within the content creator space.
Oh, for sure.
You mentioned, you know, you've got people around you who've seen do amazing things. I mean, we literally walked across a bridge earlier with some of your friends on billboards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that challenge of we're in a space where the people around you are doing amazing things and they might grow and then they'll meet new people. And everyone around us is on their own different journey.
Yeah.
And in particular for myself with you, it was very hard at first to kind of judge a relationship because there's always that thing in the back of your head of, oh, it's just because we stream together, or oh, it's just because of this, just because of that. And so I was wondering if you've got any advice around that, because you're one of the people who I've seen be amazing at keeping your friends close within a space where people might just be in it for the connections.
Okay, it's gonna sound really cop-outy, but I literally just get vibes from people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the vibes are off and therefore I keep to myself. When I meet people and like the vibes are immaculate, like yourself.
Oh, thank you.
You can just tell. I don't know. From being surrounded by, you know, the Sidemen boys, etc., you can just tell who is there to leech and who is there as a genuine person. And I just think it's the same thing with me. Like when I'm streaming or whatever, I know that people, like some people will know me because of Josh and therefore they'd want to try and talk to me to maybe get a chance of getting closer to him or whatever. I have to be extremely wary of that. And I have to be very, aware and focused because that can happen so easily, like without me realizing. As I said, usually there's just vibes, but sometimes, you know, you just never know. Like, I'm not going to name any names, but there was someone in like the Among Us communities and he's recently been outed for some mad stuff. And I did get vibes. He gave me dodgy vibes, man. And I don't know. I just think, obviously, I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to always make, like, the right decision. But, yeah, I would just say that I've always been one to keep my circle very, very tight, especially in this world, because there's just so many creators that want to go places, that want to get places. And so I have to be very vigilant with who I let in, essentially.
Yeah, we spoke a bit about that when we first met in person, because the vibes kind of thing, we both said we probably wouldn't have ever met if it wasn't for streaming Among Us, because the initial, you know, I'm the, you know, well-spoken, posh medical student-y guy. You were the person who went into fashion, all that kind of stuff. And I wouldn't typically have associated myself with that.
No,
but
know.
Now we've connected through the world that we're in now, and that vibe side of thing is something that's really hard to put a value on, you know. We associate the hobbies or the, you know, careers, or, you know, everyone's meeting through their career, everyone's meeting through their hobbies, but there's people who you might have never met, whether it be just on a night out or just through a mutual friend, who you could have those vibes with. And we met up April time.
Yeah,
I remember it being about 2-3 months in after the beginning of the year, because I hadn't seen a single person in person after that lockdown. And we went for a walk together. And we just
that was the first time we met, isn't it?
Yeah. And we just walked and talked. And then it was just, it felt like you said, it just felt so normal and so natural. And we talked about so much rubbish. But if you can talk about rubbish with someone, then it's probably good vibes, because that's the moment where it's not forced. You're not trying to like come up with conversations for your career.
But I think that just goes to show, though, like what you were saying earlier, how like we're quite different people. I'm grateful that I'm in a career that does allow me to mix with different people and, you know, people that I may not normally meet on like a day to day, like, or like with like the circle that I'm in. It's nice to be able to have that connection with people, you know, who I wouldn't usually meet. So
yeah,
I think it's cool.
And what you said about the vibes thing is, I don't know if you feel the same way back. I've introduced you to a few friends, but you've introduced me to some of your close friends. And I've kind of got this theory now that if they're a good friend of Freya, then they're probably a good person.
Stop.
Because so far you've been 100% on that. And that's again, something you notice with people you vibe with,
mm-hmm.
is you tend to then have good vibes with their friends.
Yeah.
There's some people where I've been a bit like, oh, I'm not sure about your friend. And then later on, I sort of don't like the person who met them through.
Right.
And you sort of go, actually, the friend group kind of gives you an idea of the vibes.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to know.
But this is something I did actually want to talk to you about, the whole parasocial thing, because again, you've had to dodge and weave around it, both sides of, mm-hmm. you know, knowing people around you who doing the content side of thing, and then also having people who watch you.
Mm-hmm.
When you were starting out with the content and you started doing your YouTube videos, mm-hmm. you had Talia and G in a lot of your content.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a bit about your relationship with them, because I feel like that's such a special relationship, and it's one that I think, especially in modern day where people have got so many friends through social media,
mm-hmm.
how important is it to have those close friends who you can go to for anything?
So important, especially like when we all do the same thing. Like Talia's like Gonclar, right? She's Gonclar. Like she's like doing music, she's like, you know, she's popping off, but like the fact that like we're all still so close despite her being really busy, G's like doing her own thing, I'm doing my own thing, like it's really special. Like I feel very lucky that I have them too, especially because they do what I do, so it's nice to have someone to talk about things too. Like it could be anything, like views or like what should I play on stream today, or like it's just people who get it. Like because I have like friends outside of this kind of world and I don't talk to them about my work, and I like that though, because I like having like the separation between having friends who I talk to about work and friends that I talk to about their work and like on what they're doing. So it's nice to have that separation. But yeah, them two are like they mean like absolutely everything to me. Like we've been through a lot together, and yeah, I met G at the first Sidemen charity football match at the after party, and then I met Talia properly at like a party, and then I met her at Wireless, which is where she then met Simon, and then that's how we got talking more. But yeah, they're both like so great, and I'm lucky to have them.
Yeah, I think for me, there's definitely been some moments. You know, Stumpy, who's one of my best friends.
Mm.
I've definitely looked at the way you've... It sounds like I've overanalyzed your way of doing friendship, but I think it's so key, especially after lockdown, to reassess the way our lives were,
mm-hmm.
and sort of realize, oh my goodness, if I don't see them on a daily basis for work, I don't have anyone there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And having those people who you can at any moment just reach out to. It's so important. I think a lot of people have learned that since lockdown around their social circle, their family, their relationships, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that it's important to have those people you can reach out to at any moment. And actually I've moved into this flat that we're in now,
mm-hmm.
so I can live with a good friend of mine, mm-hmm. and that was so key to just have someone every day. I used to,
because
when I was living alone, it was, yeah, you just don't see people enough.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of really important lessons and messages in there for people who might be looking at their friendship and might be feeling lonely, might be feeling like they're struggling to have people around them. I'd mm-hmm. say just reach out to people, because 100%. They're probably feeling the same way back.
Definitely. And also, like, if you don't feel like you can reach out to a friend, then there's something to, like, it might not be their fault, like it could just be like that you're so like in your own head that like you don't feel like you can. But if you reach out to a friend and they don't reciprocate, that's like an issue. But
that's more a perfect times, way to summarize meh. It there.
But like more times than not, they're gonna obviously like reciprocate and be there for you. So yeah, always reach out to friends, especially like if you're someone who like lives alone or whatever.
I think you notice it in particular in those moments. I think I just did a Pokemon event, and the winner of the event, afterwards, when I said, is there anyone you want to thank? I think he summed it up perfectly. He said, I want to thank all the people who were there when I wasn't winning, not the people who are there when I'm winning.
True.
And I've realized whenever I've had great success in my career, whether it be through the esports, whether it be something that I've done, mm-hmm. you get a lot of people reaching out at that moment.
Mm.
And I realized when I saw those, the people who I read the message went, oh, that's nice that they've messaged me.
Mm.
They're the people I'm like, oh, that's the person I want in my life. But then you read just so many messages and you think, okay, don't care about that. Okay, that's nice, but I don't really mind, you know. And you start to realize, and I think that messaging interaction, the way you communicate with people, the people who you meet up with regularly,
mm-hmm.
It's so key. But we got quite deep there with society and socializing. I did say it might get deep at some point, but we didn't know where it was going to go.
I'm here for it, man. I'm here for it. I love a deep chat.
I guess we'll round it out because I don't want to keep you here forever as much mm-hmm. as I'd love to. We can get you back again in the future. Mm-hmm. Before we go, mm-hmm. I want to hear about what's happening next. What's plans for the future for Freya?
Okay. So this is going to be a boring answer, but basically whenever someone asks me this question, I never really know what to say. And I've learned about myself that it's because I don't plan ahead, like literally ever. And I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but I don't plan ahead. So I don't know what I'm going to do in like 5 years, for example. I do know that I want to I want to buy a house with Josh very, very soon. Like that's like kind of on the plans now. I want to get cats. I want to have a garden. Like I want to do like next chapter stuff. Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I feel like I've been like in my London flat for such a long time now. And I'm like, oh, I just want like the next thing to happen. Like, I want to like buy a house. I want to have cats. I want to like, you know, maybe have babies in the future, like that kind of vibe. So in terms of like work wise, I'm just going to keep doing me. I'm going to keep streaming. I'm going to keep, you know, doing what I enjoy doing. And that's it. I don't really have any like projects that I'm working on. My friend did say, Frey, like you should sell merch, but I'm like, I'm not like completely opposed to the idea, but I don't know. It would be something that I would do just to do it, you know?
Yeah, there's so many people now who've changed the merch game and turning it more into apparel.
Yeah.
Where it's not so much, my logo in it.
I would never do like a Phrase Plays t-shirt. Like you'd never catch me doing that.
Maybe a little giraffe.
No, not even a giraffe, man. I'm thinking like a jumper like this.
Uh-huh.
Could do like a skull jumper or like a grungy kind of jumper. I think I'd be into that. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't necessarily be Phrase Plays, but it would be more me, like Freya, as opposed to Phrase
Something
Plays.
That you'd want to wear.
Yeah.
And maybe people who know you might want to wear it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
We'll hopefully have you back again in the future mm-hmm. and you'll be able to bring one of those skull jumpers along and... Uh-huh. But we'll get to chat more again in the future, maybe when you got your house and you can tell us about living in a house and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to say thank you for being an amazing person and being so kind and caring for so many people out there, comforting for so many people out there, and appreciate you coming on so early. I think that was something
it's an honor.
You're honored. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, I knew you'd be the kind of person who would be down to do this, and mm-hmm. I think that sort of says a lot about the kind of person you are. You've always, I mean, for Gid, when he did his podcast, you were mm-hmm. there straight away.
Oh, yeah.
And you've always valued the people around you mm-hmm. and given them priority over yourself. Sometimes maybe too much.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But keep being amazing. Keep streaming all the games and just living life to the full.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Before we go, I ask everyone, what does gaming mean to you?
Gaming means to me... is it depressing to say like an escape?
Oh, we've had escape before.
Okay.
That's quite normal.
Yeah. And I don't mean that in a depressive way at all. It's just like, it's really, really nice to get engrossed into a game and be taken out of reality for a little bit, you know? And just like enter something that's not quite as important. So I'd say like a reality escape, but in the best way.
Lovely.
Yeah.
There we go.
Sports Social Podcast Network.